It's big words to say, whom shall I fear? But when you realize who your shepherd is, there's no reason to fear. I mean, think about it. We don't serve some little puny little shepherd. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. We're not talking about a shepherd that would leave us, a shepherd who can't. I mean, David was a great shepherd. He fought a bear and he fought the lion and killed them both. Man, he even said this. He said, my shepherd's even greater than me. And man, I'm telling you, when you realize that the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I tell you, we have a great shepherd. He's a great friend. He'll not flee us, and he'll not, when the wolf comes, and he'll not leave us when the wolf comes. You understand this morning, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the greatest friend you'll ever have in this life. And I've been thinking a lot over the last month, and just watching the news and keeping up with what's going on. And I got some good news to report to you this morning. The IRS, I shared with you last week that the IRS denied that Christian organization nonprofit status because they said they were too Republican. Well, that got overturned this last week, so thank the Lord for that. But I've been praying and asking the Lord to give us some wisdom and help me in my life. And I've really just trying to see what the Lord would have us to preach here. And this morning, or this week, I've really been burdened about the church. And why church? And I guess what's bothered me is I have seen the attack that the enemy has made against the church in the last year. And I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe COVID was an accident. I believe it was sent. I believe it was sent. I believe God allowed it to happen. But understand this, I believe it's part of spiritual warfare. And remember, we're in a battle today. And I just want the world to know whose side I'm on. Amen. Amen. I'm honest. I've always been a person who was a man of convictions. And whether I was right or whether I was wrong, you knew where I stood. Amen. And I want the world to know, and I want you to know where I stand. And I want to know I want the world to know, and I want people to know whose side I'm on. I don't want them to be any question. And I'm honest. There was an old country song, and I don't even know y'all don't murder me because hang me out by my toenails because I know the words. But I don't remember who sings it. But he said, "I'm a man of my convictions. Call me wrong or call me right." It says, you may not like where I'm going, but you sure know where I've been. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you can. And there were some words in that I didn't like, but the fact of the matter is, he says, I'm a man of my convictions. And may I say unto you today, you better get you some convictions. And I'm talking about some biblical convictions. And you better be ready to make a stand to whose side you're on. And I'm not talking about being militant. We talked about that last week. We're not being militant. We've got a fight to fight, and it's a good fight. It's a fight of faith. The world's against us. May I say this to you this morning? The left and their agenda is not against you. They are, but it's not their fault. They're just following their leader. And you say, well, who's their leader? Pelosi? No. Biden? No. The devil. The Bible said this, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murdering liar from the beginning. Well, we know this, that they're anti-God. And the reason they're anti-America is, and if you want to go back and listen, I encourage and challenge you to go back to listen to last week's message, not of necessarily my preaching, but the facts that I preached and the truth that I preached. On how God has blessed the United States of America, and as we celebrated our birthday last week, and the greatest nation in the world outside the nation of Israel. And I understand this morning, I'm still willing to fight for her, and I'm still willing to stand for her. But more than I'm willing to stand for her, I'm willing to stand for the church. If you have a Bible this morning, let's look in Matthew chapter number 16. You pray for us this morning. Pray God to help us. I got many, many thoughts and many, many things this morning, and I don't know how far I'll get. I made a Facebook post last night when I got done studying on the church's page, and the comment was this: if you think that you can make it in this life without the church, you've already played into the hand of the enemy. And I'm going to say that again. If you think you can make it in this life without the church, you've already played into the hand of the enemy. And I'm not talking about the financial status of the church. I'm talking about the fellowship of believers and what the church represents. And as we've seen over this last year, and thank God for live stream, and I hope there's some watching this morning, and I'm sure there's some watching this morning, but if you're watching this morning because you're sick or because of your health won't allow you to come to the house of God, I understand. But if you're watching this morning, and you may turn me off right here, and that's okay, but if you're watching this morning because you've chosen the couch over the house of God, or you've chosen the garden over the house of God, or you've chosen the lake over the house of God, you've chosen which side that you're on. Now thank God for live stream. Thank God for the radio ministry. Thank God for sermon audio, where our records go on file and you can go online and listen to them at any time. But understand this morning, there's a reason that we gather at the church. You pray for us this morning. Why attend church? Let me share these things with you right here. First of all, why attend church? Number one, it's scriptural to attend church. It's scriptural. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling yourself together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day in approaching. Number two, you are the church. Some people say today, well, I don't have to go to church because I am the church. Well, you are the church. That's exactly right if you're born again by the Spirit of God. But if you are the church and you're not at the church, then the church is not here. Okay? I'm going to say that again. If you are the church and you're not at the church, then the church is not here. So if you are the church, then you ought to be at the house of God that we call the church when the church is having church. Right? All right? Well, if the church is not here, then the church no longer exists. If the church no longer exists, where will those who need help and those who have never heard the gospel come if we're no longer in existence? You being here in the church creates a space and an atmosphere for the gospel to be preached and people to be helped. Only the enemy wants you to stay out of church. Christ doesn't want you to. Only the enemy. If you, as I said and I posted this, if you think you can make it alone in this world as a Christian without the church, you've already played into the hand of the enemy. He's already got you right where He wants you. Let's look this morning why the church. If you mind me, have your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18. Let's read verse number 17. We'll read verse 17 and 18. And we'll get into the Word of God this morning and see what the Lord has for us. And Jesus answered, I'm in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Let me go back and read verses 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege that you give us to be in the house of God this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd use us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. I pray that you'd help us to preach the truth, Lord, of the Word of God. I pray the Word of God would have its free course in the heart of every listener this morning. Lord, I thank you, God, for the church. Thank you, Lord, that I'm part of the church. Thank you, Lord God, that I pastor a church. Thank you, Lord, that I get to attend a church. Thank you, God, Lord, today for all that you've done for me. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. The church. Notice what the Lord said. He said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, in the last 20 years of our society, the churches have dropped church off of their sign. They don't want to be called a church anymore. They want to be called a gathering. Some places are called the stone, and some places are called the rock. Why are they not called the church anymore? And I'm not, understand this, I'm not belittling them because of their names. I'm just laying out the fact that these churches used to have church upon their name. But this day and age, it's not church anymore. Because the reason is, and you ask them, they say it's not conducive to our society. May I say unto you this morning, the church has never been intended to be conducive to society. The church has always been designed, and we're going to look at it this morning, is to be a light and a witness to a lost and a dying world. Now understand, this morning when Jesus said this, he said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, I want you to understand this morning, and let's look at some things this morning about the church and some things that are right. And some of these thoughts come back to the first message on the first Sunday that I was your pastor, and Brother Keith Allison preached. It was homecoming, and he was already scheduled to preach. Maybe it was the second Sunday. He was already scheduled to preach, and he preached a message out of this right here. And some of the thoughts that he shared with us that day, I may bring back out this morning, but I want you to see this morning, I want to see some things. I want you to notice the framer of the church. Now, there's a lot of houses being built in our society today, and especially in our county, there's not many roads that you can't go down that you don't see a lumber going up somewhere, and you don't see some framing going up. And that's the builder. The builder builds the houses. The builder frames things together. And understand this morning, I want you to notice the framer of the church. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 16. He said, I will build the church. I understand today, it's not you and I that build the church. I preached a message, a series of messages. I'm there right after I came on a Sunday night of why I refuse to build the church, because it's not our job. Jesus said, I will build the church. Now understand, as I preach a little later on, I want you to understand, you and I have a job this morning to do as the church. But understand this morning, the framing of the church was right. It was right then, it's right now, and there's nothing wrong with being a church. The framing was right. He said, I'll build it. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20. And ye are built. And the whole building is fitly framed together. Now understand this. I'm not talking about the walls of this building. Thank God for the building. But if we were meeting in the parking lot, when we were meeting in the parking lot on this ground, guess what? We were still the church. If we were meeting in the fellowship hall, guess what? We would still be the church. If we were meeting down in the parking lot in front of Tractor Supply, guess what? We would still be the church. The fact of the matter is, this is just the place that has been set aside for us to come together as a body to worship the Lord, to fellowship one with another, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and to sing the praises of God. This is the church. We're the church. And when we're the church, we have an obligation and a duty to be at the church. Because there again, if we are the church and we're not at the church, then the church ceases to exist. But Jesus said this, Peter, I will build the church. The framing of the church is right. Remember, we're a building and not just a body. The Bible said this, we are a building, but we are a body. The Bible says this. He says, "For we are the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in a body as it hath pleased Him." Do you understand this morning that if you're a part of this church, do you understand you're here because it hath pleased God to put you here? So often in my life and in my ministry, so many times I've got discouraged about why others come and why some would go and why people wouldn't come here or when I was pastoring or people. And I understand that you deal with that too. But according to the Word of God, beloved, we've been put together as a body, beloved, according to God's pleasure. God's pleasure. Now, understand, I'm just laying some foundation this morning. I'm talking about the framing of the church. Do you understand this morning as that house is being framed up and we're going to talk about the foundation in just a moment. But as that framing there is being done and there's pieces cut and there's pieces put in together. And we know that some pieces are not on, most of the framing that you see is always covered. Think about it just for a moment. The frameworks most of the time is covered. You don't see it. You see the siding, you see the windows, you see the roof. But the interior framing, that has the structure, that holds it together, the nails and the purlins and the studs and the plates and all of that that's holding it together, it's not always seen. And it don't always get glory. But I can promise you this, you can't put up siding without a stud. And I can promise you this, you can't set a truss without a plate. You can't do it. Now, we don't always get to see those things, but those things are intricate parts. And let's relay it there to the building. Some of us may be a stud, and some of us may be a nail, and some of us may be a plate. But beloved, the fact of the matter is, it takes all of us. All of us to be fitly framed together. And He's put us together. The Bible says that. "But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." As it hath pleased Him. And we're a body that God has fitly been put together. And here's the problem though. If we're not careful, and remember, we're talking about being a part of the church, and we're talking about finding our place in the church, and we're going to talk about our position being filled in the church, but you ever thought about this? What if the studs decided not to be studs anymore? What if that wall of studs says, "Well, you know, we're just going to decay and rot"? What's going to happen? It's going to fall. You see the importance of you being a part of the church. Yes, the building is fitly framed together. There's nothing wrong with the framing. There's nothing wrong with the framer. There's nothing wrong with the plans that He has. The framework of it. Let's look at the foundation. What did He say this? "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus said unto them, "Did you ever read the Scriptures, Matthew 21:42, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Acts chapter 4, verse number 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." What they were talking about there was Jesus Christ. The Jews had rejected Him and crucified Him, and they said, "You've rejected Him, but now He's become the head of the corner." Remember, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Do you realize today the foundation of the church is still sure? There's nothing wrong with the framework, and there's nothing wrong with the foundation. There's nothing wrong with the framework and nothing wrong with the foundation. He said, "This rock." But think about this just a moment. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? How is the foundation destroyed? Now we know this, and it's an eternal foundation because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He says, I am the Lord, therefore I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I understand this morning, the foundation is not going to change. It's not going to change. That's why the fundamentals of the faith cannot change, because the foundation can't change. I remember when I was a young man or younger, and I was helping my uncle and them, and they were doing grading, and we pulled up this house one day, and we was unloading. I didn't ask why we was going. I never did. We just went, and I just done whatever they said to do. I pulled up, and I asked my Uncle Tommy. I said, what are we doing here? He said, we're digging a basement. I said, well, they've already got a house. He said, yeah, and they want a basement in under it. I said, what? They want a basement in under it. Why didn't they put a basement in under it? Well, they just bought the house and they want a basement. So what we did was we dug that basement out in under that house. And we had to go in and we had to shore it up and we had to put steel pour pads and put set steel beam. And then we had to dig it out, and then we had for them to come in and pour walls and set the house back down on it. It was an amazing feat. But guess what? We destroyed that foundation, but the foundation that we're on will never be destroyed. Understand this morning, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He's talking about what Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The foundation that the church is built upon will never change. Faces may change, people may change, colors of building may change, people's opinions may change, music may change, but the fact of the matter is the foundation will never change. Now understand this, I don't want to be a church that's not, and understand when I say this morning, the Bible says, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. And if the foundation has stood for some 2,000 years, why do we need to change it today? The framework is fine. The foundation is fine. But I want you to see this one. The fight that we're in. What did he say here? He said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail. He is telling us that you're going to be attacked. Is that not what he said? He says the gates of hell will not prevail. So what he is telling us is that the gates of hell will come against us. Well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that spiritual war. I don't want to talk about all that. Understand today, that's what we're dealing with in our society. That's what we're dealing with. Remember, we see the trees blowing, but it's not the trees. As the young boy said, as I've used this illustration many times, as him and his mom was walking home that night from the store, and he said, Mom, the wind began to blow, and the leaves began to fall, and he began to get scared. And his mom said, Son, what's wrong? He said, I'm scared of them leaves. I'm scared the leaves are falling and the trees are blowing. She said, Son, it's not the leaves that's causing the problem. And it's not the trees. It's the wind that's blowing the trees. Understand today, you and I are in a battle today. And when I say you and I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a battle today due to the fact that the wind is blowing contrary to us. As I brought out last week, this critical race theory, it's a lie out of the pit of hell. It's what it is. He's made of one blood, all nations. Every person that's ever been born bleeds red. One blood of all nations. Our skin color may be different. Our ethnicity, where we were born, may be different. But the fact of the matter is, we's made of one nation. One blood, all nations. He died for all. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. There's not one above another. There's not one above another. It's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Think about this other attack that's going on in our society today. Think about this. Well, it's gender neutral. No, there's not. He created male and female, created He them. Amen. Have you ever seen an animal that's not male or female? Now, I understand this. There is sometimes that you can have a hermaphrodite in an animal, and I'm not going to say they don't happen in the human every once in a while. But the fact of the matter is, you were born a male. God wants you to be a male. God don't make mistakes. God never made a mistake. Jeremiah said this. He told Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and I called thee by name." He told the psalmist, he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I'm talking about the attack. See, when I just preached those two things, it made a cringe on some of you. You want to know why? Because you're being infiltrated from the outside. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about you're under attack. Well, he ought not say that. This is the church, the pillar and ground of truth according to the Word of God. Amen. And if it's not preached in the church house, where should it be preached? I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not mad or I'm not angry. I'm just telling you the truth. And the foundation, and the Bible, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, and the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But if the truth is not preached at the house of God, at the church, to the church, where is the truth going to be preached? See, the church is not made to be part of society. Jesus said, "Know this, if the world hates you, it hated me." They crucified the Son of God. We're not going to fit in. We're pilgrims and strangers. We're going to a better place. Yes, I love this country. Yes, I love this state. But the fact of the matter is, I'm part of the church. When He saved me, He put my citizenship in heaven. I owe more loyalty to this flag than this flag. This is the nation that I was born in. This flag represents the Savior that born to me again. The church. I'm not ashamed of the church. I'm proud to be part of the church. Why? Because we're looking just a moment, and I'm telling you, the church has been built right. I'm beloved, the framer was right. The foundation is right. But the fight is real. Why is it everything works well besides Sunday morning? You ever thought about that? Why is it you can get out of bed at 6:30, 6 o'clock every morning of the week? Get up, go to work. Sunday morning rolls around, 8 o'clock. And man, you feel like you ain't slept but 3 hours.
Right. Amen.
Why? Attack. It's an attack. He said, "Look, boys, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to lay the foundation. I'm going to build it right. The foundation's going to be sure. The foundation's going to be secure. But the gates of hell is going to come against it." You're under attack. You're under attack. Why is it you seem that when you get started back in the church and you begin to get you, try to get you, you maybe you've been out of church a while and you start coming back to church, why is it seem, man, for the first few Sundays everything's going good and man, you're there and you're so excited and then about a month into it you're like, man, everything starts to begin to pull you apart again. Why? Because you're under attack. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Understand this morning, when alcohol was voted in, I wrote a letter to the editor. They wouldn't publish it, so I rented a page on the back of the thing. This was 15 years ago. Was I against those vineyards that was over there that was trying to do that? No. The man that owns the bar in Cleveland's my friend. I could call him today and say I needed something, and he would be there to help me. He's my friend, but I don't agree with what he's doing. Right. I can disagree and still love people. Amen. Are you following me? But here's the thing, Brother Green. I have to take a stand.
Amen.
I'm the pastor of Zion Hill Baptist Church. But more than that, I'm a Christian.
That's right.
And if I don't take a stand, who's going to take a stand?
That's right.
Doesn't mean that we have to be belligerent about it. It doesn't mean that we have to rail on them. The fact of the matter is, we're to bring light to a lost and a dying world. But we must understand this. I'm talking about the gates of hell shall not prevail. We're fighting a spiritual warfare. And it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against mankind. It's against spiritual things. Abortion, it's a spiritual matter. It's murder. Okay, that's what it is. It's murder. And to think that it's not. And some young man, I don't know who he is, but I'll debate him till the day I die, wrote a letter to the editor this week.
That's right.
And said, well, if you really knew your Bible, if you was biblical about it all, over there in Psalms it said, blessed he who dasheth the little ones against the stone. He's took that so far out of context, he don't even know what he's talking about.
Amen.
Thou shalt not kill. We're in a spiritual warfare.
Amen.
We're under attack. They're closing our churches at our sister nation across the border in Canada. They're building fences around them. They're arresting pastors. In California, the bars opened up. The movie centers opened up, but the churches couldn't open up.
That's right.
Yes. Why? Because we're under attack. We're under attack. He didn't say that the enemy would not come against us.
Right.
But we have been promised that the enemy would not prevail. We're not in the losing side, on the losing side.
Right.
What's on our sign down there? Did you get it on there? What does it say? Just to remind everybody.
Just to let you know,
Jesus wins.
Amen.
At the youth meeting, there is a preacher preached, Jesus wins. And man, that's all I could think about. And Leslie said, what can I put on the church sign? I said, just let them know, Jesus wins. Hey, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
We are on the winning side. Understand this morning, the gates of hell will prevail against the church, will not prevail against church. He did not say the gates of hell wouldn't come against the church. And understand this, if you, remember what I said, if you are the church, then guess what? He's coming after you.
Amen.
He's coming after you. And if you think for 1 minute you can survive as a Christian in this world without the church,
amen.
You've done played into His hand. We've all been there.
Amen.
We've all got out. But we also have all come back.
Amen.
And it's better here than it is out there.
Amen.
And if you're questioning and wondering, is it better? Just go back and look over your life.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, young people. Stay in church.
Amen.
Stay with the church.
Save your life.
Yes.
We're a body fitly framed together. There's nothing wrong with our framer.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with our foundation. He told us that we was going to be in the fight. But He said, I got some good news. I win. And if I win, you win.
Right.
So So I'm not going to hang my head in shame. I'm not going to cow down and bow out of the fight. I have been told to fight the good fight of faith. I have been told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I am not going to quit fighting because I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. May not fit in. But understand this. What is the church? It's a called out assembly. We've been called out. We're different. Why? Because we've been saved. We're not of this world anymore. We're different. And we're to be a light. I want you to think about it just for a moment right here. I'm going to use this young man right here because I can. When did you get saved?
Whenever I was
18. Where was you at?
In jail.
In jail. Where did you hear the gospel?
Here.
Where?
Here. In the church.
Got saved in jail, but I heard the gospel in the church.
Right.
When you hit rock bottom, where did you come? When he hit the bottom, he come to the church. When you hit the bottom, where'd you come? When you hit the bottom, where'd you come?
Amen.
What if I'd come, we'd not been here?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? What if we'd come? What if somebody showed up and there wasn't nobody here? Well, let's just going to have church at our house this morning. We're just going to all watch the preaching on live stream. Let me ask you this question. It's talking about the importance of being here. What if that time they had come to the church, nobody else decided to show up? See, you don't know who's going to walk in that door Sunday morning,
Amen.
Sunday night, or Wednesday night. You make a difference because we're the church. And if the church is not here, then we can't have church. Because if the church can't have church without the church. Does that make sense? So guess what? Stay with the church.
Amen.
Because the church is making a difference in people's lives. It's making a difference in your life. Don't give up. We're on the winning side. But understand, we're in a battle.
Amen.
But we're not on the losing side. Jesus wins.
Amen.
And just to remind you, just to let you know, Jesus wins.
Amen.
Always has, and He always will. He's not a loser.
Amen.
I don't like losing.
Amen.
I don't like being wrong, and I don't like losing.
Amen.
I'm trying to get out of that tone. That's why I keep backing up. But I want to remind you this morning, there's nothing wrong with the church.
Amen.
If you'll see tonight, if you'll come back tonight, I'll see why the Lord put the church here. Do you know, and I'll just go ahead and share with you part of it. Do you know that when the angels in heaven look at the church, they see the glory of God. Listen to this. Creation. They looked at creation and it didn't describe it. They looked at the law and it couldn't express it. But when they look at the church, and this is biblical, I never seen this till last night. When the heavenly beings look at the church, it's a picture of the grace and glory of God. We are a picture. And you know what gets me? It's what the church is made of.
It ain't saints.
It ain't saints, is it? It ain't saints. It's those that are broken,
Amen.
Those that have been bruised, those that have been battered.
Amen.
Those that had been in jail, those that lived an alcohol drunk life for 40 something years. That's what the church is.
Amen.
It's broken, bruised, and battered people that God sent. I can fix your life.
And He did. Amen.
And He did. Church ain't full of hypocrites. Church is just full of broken people.
That's right.
That's all it is. Broken people. And why God would let me be a part of the church, I don't understand. But I sure am glad that He does. Hey, I love the church. He died for the church. I mean, I got three more pages of notes, and I ain't even made it through the first point. The church. He loves the church. He died for the church. He's protecting the church. Thank God for the church. We're standing all over the house. Miss Evelyn's coming to be in. I don't